I have two books at my bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snakes, Doc! I hate them! And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you almost live from our top secret broadcasting bunker, Area 52A. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am not quite live today, working from home today. But good to be with you anyway. I want to bring up a subject I haven't talked about in a while. As you know, we started doing meetings at our church to help people with various addictions, whether that is an addiction to alcohol, addiction to any kind of drug. There are people who deal with porn addictions, just things like that. And there may be others. But we're here to help. Because in this world today, I'm telling you, in this world today, don't be surprised when you find out that somebody you know, somebody you might go to church with, somebody in your family is... The devil has latched onto them with an addiction. These are things that once somebody gets started in them, the nature of them is generally it grabs them very first time. I've never taken meth before, but I am told that it is so addictive. The first time, you're hooked. That's it. So needless to say, I just strongly, in as strong a way as I possibly can, would tell you, don't ever use methamphetamine. Ever. Cocaine, crack, and yes, I'm going to sort of devote a biggest part of this to marijuana. I have been... people have called me. People have written. People have told me things that people they know or they themselves are hooked on marijuana. Now, supposedly, and this is what the pro-marijuana people say, you can't get addicted to marijuana. Well, I talked to somebody... Who is? They called me crying, saying that they're addicted. They keep trying to get off, go right back to it. Keep trying, go right back to it. Now, believe it or not, there are people out there who try to convince everybody there's nothing wrong with marijuana. Absolutely nothing. God put it on this earth, by the way. God made it. And so it's meant to be... And I used to work with a guy. His uncle was a pastor that I knew, and a godly pastor. And he supposedly was a Christian. So I talked to him on the job site one time. This is back when I was working in construction. And he was a constant marijuana smoker. And would get on to anybody on the job site if they cursed, took the Lord's name in vain. He would kind of chew me out if I didn't witness to people there on the job site. And yet, if you brought up marijuana to him, he would just about hit you. That's how much he defended it. Now, as you know, several states have already, it started out with Oregon and Colorado, legalizing not just the medical use of marijuana, but the recreational use of marijuana, which basically opened up the floodgate. And we knew it would. Then states started legalizing the medical use of marijuana, and Missouri now is one of those states. And I didn't think that would happen. You know, Illinois did it, and I'm going, that's Illinois. You know, people in Chicago. But Missouri did. In fact, let me read to you an article about what I would call the marijuana lobby. Missouri officials on Friday revealed the long-anticipated list of businesses that would be allowed to sell medical marijuana starting later this year. One of those businesses is opening up in the small town that I live near. I don't live in town, but I live near one, Hillsboro, Missouri, which is the county seat. And the gas station Sweetie Pie and I go to every morning, we started seeing there was this kiosk there. It's like an iPad where you could type in all your information and basically fill out a thing right there at the gas station where you could start getting medical marijuana. You fill out the information, and I guess there's a fee that you've got to pay or whatever. And once you pay that, they just take your word for it that you need it, and all of a sudden you get it. Okay? It's that easy. We started seeing billboards. Advertising, you know, go to this website, fill the information out, send us $100. There was somebody rented some space there on Main Street in Festus. And basically, if you stood there with $100 and you walked in and filled out a thing saying you needed medical marijuana, you got a card. So, you know, I'm just going, why fill out the information? Why don't they just hand a card out to everybody who walks by with $100? So the dispensaries are opening up. One of them, and we're seeing billboards now all around Jefferson County. I thought it was a church moving in. It was North Point or something like that. I thought it was one of the mega churches moving a campus into Jefferson County. Well, it kind of is. It's a marijuana dispensary. 66. That's an interesting number. 66 marijuana dispensaries were licensed in the St. Louis metro area, more than any metro region in the state. At least 40 dispensaries were licensed in the Kansas City area, according to state records. The list of winners was posted online Friday, capping a competition among hundreds of groups for 192 dispensary licenses statewide, 24 in each of the state's congressional districts, to sell marijuana legally to Missourians who have a valid, and that's a joke, a valid medical marijuana patient card. And again, valid means you paid $100 to some guy who authorized you to get a card. To sell marijuana legally to Missourians who have a valid medical marijuana patient card, sales aren't expected to begin for several months, but are predicted to top more than $100 million by 2025. Now remember, what our Bible says the root of all evil is. Okay? Of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, it's not all evil, and money itself is not evil, but the love of money is. So, why would somebody else care whether or not somebody else smoked marijuana? if they can make money off of it, then they'll do it. And that's what this is about. It's about taking something that was illegal and getting revenue out of it, both for the dispensaries and the state of Missouri, because they're going to tax the snot out of it, is what they're going to do. 14 dispensaries were licensed in the city of St. Louis, and St. Louis, St. Charles, and Jefferson County. Some municipalities saw one dispensary win a license, while a handful of others could see up to 3 dispensaries open. A few local streets will offer a cluster of shops. 2 dispensaries were licensed in the Del Mar Loop, that's in St. Louis. Here it is, Zach Mangelsdorf, owner of North Medical Group. North. Said his company received 2 dispensary licenses in Jefferson County, one for 929 Peachtree Plaza in Hillsboro, and the second for 1709 State Highway ZP. They want to make sure you know where these are. The company submitted 3 other dispensary applications, 3 cultivation applications, and 1 infused product manufacturing application. That means you don't have to smoke the stuff to get it. They put it in gummies, pills, whatever. The state rejected the company's cultivation and manufacturing applications early this month, and on Thursday rejected the company's other 3 dispensary applications, Mangeldorf said. We're just ecstatic to have something. I bet. Missouri received at least 1,163 dispensary applications, making it the most competitive field for licenses to enter the state's medical marijuana industry. There was something in here about the lobbyists. Businesses with apparent ties to retailers with operations in other states also won dispensary licenses in the St. Louis area. Holistic Missouri LLC, Grassroots Opco, Grassroots, get it. But the lobbying effort to get these businesses approved, to get the law to be changed in the state of Missouri to allow medical marijuana to be dispensed, they're the ones who are responsible for getting the law changed. It's not about, we want this for our health. Wasn't about that at all. It's no different than any other pharmaceutical company. Are they in it to heal people? No. They're in it to treat symptoms of illnesses. And I want you to think about this. Now, again, I take certain pharmaceuticals. I'm not necessarily against the taking of medication if it's really needed. But I also know the flip side of that, how dangerous some of that stuff could be. And I want you to ask yourself the question, how many medicines are there out there that actually cure a disease? And how many medicines are there out there that treat symptoms of disease but don't cure them? Think about it. And the medications I take, some for high blood pressure, is there a cure for high blood pressure? If there was, they wouldn't sell it because they can make more money treating the symptoms of high blood pressure. I deal with neuropathy, the nerve pain and the nerve disorders that I have because of being electrocuted, the lower back pain and things like that. Have they worked on a medication for a cure for that? I don't know. But they have medications to treat the symptoms of it. Heart disease, cancer, things like that. They have medicines to treat symptoms, but not medicines to cure the diseases. I'm not sure that anybody right now in the medical industry is involved in actually curing any kind of disease. They are involved in treating the symptoms. And as you know, every good medicine has, in some cases, disastrous side effects. Now, the idea of marijuana, it's very... I know a lot of people who are taking CBD, which is an oil extract from the marijuana plant. It does not contain THC, the part that makes you high. It does not contain that, and they take it for various things, some for physical maladies, some for emotional maladies, things like that. I get it. I've had it a time or two. I didn't really gain anything from it, but some people do. I don't have a problem with that. And let me say this. If there was a really, really, really valid reason why someone used THC medically, remember this. The Bible tells us two reasons why we could drink alcohol. Actually, three. That's mentioned in two different places in the Bible. Paul told Timothy, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and oft infirmities. And throughout history, alcohol is known as something that kills bacteria because of the alcohol in it. People used to make hot toddies when you had cold symptoms, things like that. Back before pharmaceutical companies and medicines that we now have, people used alcohol on a limited basis. And the Bible allows for that. And also, I think it's in the book of Proverbs, give wine and strong drink to him. I'll have to look that verse up. But it basically says it gives it to someone who is deeply depressed for depression. And I actually know somebody, a good Christian, who suffers from episodes of depression every now and then. I know what that's like. And he says, I don't trust pharmaceuticals. I don't know what they'll do to me, but I know what a little wine does. And so when he gets in those bouts of depression, he will take a little wine. When he's done with the depression, he puts it away. He has that ability. Not everybody has that ability. If you don't have that ability, stay away from it. Someone who's ready to die, we give morphine to cancer patients. And for that matter, when someone's going to undergo surgery, what do to them? We knock them out. We dope them up so bad that they can't breathe on their own. We have to breathe for them. And that's how they get through surgery. Okay? Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing. In fact, it's inhumane to not do that for somebody. Okay? And I'm not one of these for emotional issues. I'm not somebody who says, well, if you take medicine, you just don't trust in God. You have devils. I don't necessarily believe that's always the case. So I can't say 100% that a use of anything like THC or whatever for certain limited issues, just like the Bible allows wine and strong drink. But all of those people that were lined up were just... You could basically give any reason in the world to get a medical marijuana card in the state of Missouri, and you'll get one. So let's talk about the abuse of marijuana, cocaine. My wife used to work for an oral surgeon as a nurse. They kept cocaine in a locker. I think she said they used it for nosebleeds or something. I don't know. But they kept it in there. It had a medicinal use for it. The doctor had a license for it. One of the nurses kept stealing it, so she got fired. So with a lot of these things, there are legitimate medical uses for them. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the abuse of it. And somebody called me the other day saying that they can't stop. So I gave her some recommendations. So let's look at, I did this several years ago and I haven't talked about it much since then. Where does the phrase stoned come from? Colloquial and slang expressions meaning intoxicated. Many such slang terms originally meant damaged, badly affected. It's true, stoned is more often used nowadays for intoxicated by cannabis, but it too was first used of alcohol, originally in compounds such as stone drunk, stone cold. The term may relate to stoning as a method of execution, but anyway, to be stoned, basically, it has to do with when someone's high, they get stone-faced. That's what the meaning of it is. Okay? That term came about back in the 50s. And yes, people were smoking marijuana all the way back then. My favorite gospel group, the Cathedrals, George Yonts was the bass singer. And he said he joined the Air Force as a paratrooper. And the guy he bunked next to got him introduced to marijuana. And he said, I'm smoking them left-handed Luckies, left-handed cigarettes, all the way back 1951-52. Then after that, he got into alcohol, and it just nearly destroyed his life, and he gave his life to the Lord. And God took it out. God took him out of that and took that out of him. And with many people, that's what it takes, is that God has to take that out of you. There was a movie. And they make fun of this movie now. It was called Reefer Madness. Way back, I'm going to say late 30s, early 40s. Women cry for it, men die for it. Reefer Madness. Drug crazed, abandoned, youthful marijuana victims. And it was basically a film to try to warn people not to smoke marijuana, about how it would just make you crazy. Now, it seems, well, I've seen the movie, and it seems like the things were exaggerated greatly. But I will say this, and I will not apologize for it. People who use marijuana on a regular basis, or above regular basis, it alters their thinking process. It alters their world view. It alters everything. How they see the world, how they view God and religion. It's almost like there now is a replacement for God in their life, and it's marijuana. And God said that thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I like the guy I used to work with. You could talk about anything in the world, any kind of sin in the world, and he would amen, amen, amen. But if you brought up marijuana, he would just about itch you. It would make him mad. I mean, he took a drywall hammer. He was a drywall hanger, and he put a drywall hammer up my face one time. Just mad as a skunk at me over that. Defending it. And I've known some people who said they were Christians, but because they favored that drug, marijuana, that became their god. It became their obsession. And yes, absolutely, 100%, spirits are linked to this. You have Timothy Leary. Was he a CIA operative? Probably. Because, and I'll say this, the CIA, one of the biggest enemies to America right now, Central Intelligence Agency, and I think there's some good agents out there who are working abroad to make sure, I mean, it came about as a result of World War II, we need to know what the Germans and the Japanese were doing, it was a spy agency, I get it. But the CIA has funneled probably more drugs into this country than any one single other group or person. We have a huge drug problem in this country, and I think the CIA is partly to blame for that. So Leary was one of these guys. He's the guy that said, turn on, tune in, and drop out. And he espoused the use of LSD to further expand our consciousness. In other words, how we see the world, how we see the universe, how we see religion, how we see politics, how we see everything. And people, you can tell people who take drugs, mind-altering drugs on a regular basis, their worldview is greatly skewed and altered by that drug. It's like, and they pretend it's like this, like they have a consciousness that you just don't have. You're just not as smart and as enlightened as they are. Does LSD stand for League for Spiritual Discovery? Not quite. But that's essentially what this is about. There are drugs called entheogens, and I'll explain that in a little bit, what that means. But the word theo in there tells you something. Theos is the word for God, Greek word for God. This is from Wikipedia. World religion scholar Houston Smith was, quote, turned on by Leary after being introduced to him by Aldous Huxley, who wrote The Brave New World in the early 60s. The experience was interpreted as a deeply religious one by Smith. Are you catching this? And is described in detail, in detailed religious terms in Smith's later work, Cleansing of the Doors of Perception. I want you to think of the doors. Smith asked Leary to paraphrase whether he knew the power and danger of what he was conducting research with. In Mother Jones Magazine, 1997, Smith commented, he said, first I have to say that during the 3 years I was involved with that Harvard study, LSD was not only legal but respectable. Before Timothy Leary, went on his unfortunate careening course, it was a legitimate research project, though I did find evidence that, when recounted, the experiences of the Harvard group and of those mystics were impossible to tell apart. And he's talking about those who were taking LSD and those who were in the mysticism or shamanism or connecting with familiar spirits. And what he's saying is, the people who were taking LSD and the people who were meditating to contact familiar spirits, you couldn't tell them apart. And from a New Age standpoint, they will tell you there's two ways to get in contact with spirits. One is through the altering of your mind through meditation. The other is the quick version. Take drugs. Because what it does is there is a door in your mind called sobriety, being sober. Think about verses in the Bible where that word is. My mind is... I taught this on a Prophecy Club tour years ago, dealing with the Da Vinci Code, and I was talking about the cup of devils. And I said, it makes you drunk. And the guy that ran the Prophecy Club, Stan Johnson, said, yeah, me and my wife were talking, and he said, obviously, you've never been drunk in the spirit. And I went, you're obviously right. And he wanted to impart that to me, and I said, no way. No way. Entheogen. An entheogen is a drug, LSD, ayahuasca, different variants of that, that literally connect you to a god. Now, some people will say it connects you to God, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. No. That's not the way to do it. You cannot reach God drunk. And whether you call it stoned, high, enlightened, it's still drunk. It is a form of drunkenness. It is the wall of sobriety in your brain. That door now is open. That wall, that gate has been open, and it's intended to keep things out of your mind that shouldn't be there. But once that door is opened and those things come in, they're hard to get out. So that's what an entheogen is. It's like I said, you can either meditate, you can spend hours and hours and hours learning to meditate properly, or you can shoot up, snort, smoke, whatever, and get in connection with them that way. Either way, it is the alteration of your thought processes. See this part of your brain right here? Where your forehead is, just think about a verse in the Bible that has a forehead in it. This part of your brain, the frontal lobe, it deals with the decisions you make about morality, right versus wrong. So a married guy goes into a bar, and there's women at a bar. He's married, not interested, and he knows it's wrong, so he's not looking for anything. The more he drinks, the alteration of his brain takes place, and now things that used to be right or wrong are now like switched, or maybe it won't be wrong, or it's wrong but I don't care if it's wrong. Nikki Gilley sang a song back years ago, "All the girls all get prettier at closing time." What does that mean? It means the drunker you get, the better looking the ugly women are in the bar. And it's a song about adultery is what it is. I still remember that this man, he was visiting St. Louis downtown, staying in a downtown hotel, got drunk in the hotel bar, out of his mind, went to his hotel room, and when he got in his bed, there was a teenage girl there. He got to the wrong room. Well, he raped that girl. Why? Alcohol. It alters your perception of what is right and what is wrong. And this is why people defend it so much. Because they have lost that perception of what is right versus what is wrong. Study wine and strong drink in the Bible. God told the priests, the Levites, do not drink wine or strong drink. Why? Because you're the one supposed to know the difference between clean and unclean, between holy and defiled, and the gifts and the sacrifices that come in the tabernacle. You're the one supposed to be able to tell the difference between what's spotted and what's unspotted, what's clean and unclean. And if you're drunk, you can't do it. Certain substances, such as peyote, made from, what is that, from cactuses? Ayahuasca, psilocybin mushrooms, mead, which is fermented honey. Ayahuasca now is a big, there are ayahuasca retreats you can go to in South America. You can get a flight, go to this retreat, and they will load you up with ayahuasca if you've never done it before. They take you down there, and I guarantee you, you're going to vomit the first time you do it. But they take, and there's a whole book on this I read. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, The Cosmic Serpent. by Jeremy Narby. And if you look this guy up on YouTube, look up Jeremy Narby on YouTube and watch his videos. That guy, now, this may be his personality, but I doubt it. This guy has been stoned so many times, it's like he stays stoned. Okay, and I'll tell you more about that book in a little bit. Ayahuasca, which is a vine, and it looks like what? Looks like DNA, looks like serpents. Mushrooms, Alice in Wonderland, right? What does Mario do? Eats mushrooms. What happens to him? It alters him, doesn't it? The peace pipe. There's a way, and Narby explains this in The Cosmic Serpent. You have the ayahuasca arrows and the... I can't pronounce the word. But it's these witch doctors who take tobacco and boil it down into a liqueur. And once that's drank... The whole reason for Narby finding all this out was medical industry will send people down to South America to find... There's millions of different plant species down there, and they're looking for new drugs that they can synthesize and market. Ibuprofen is one of them that came from the witch doctors or the shamans' knowledge of what would be a good way to... What does ibuprofen do? It's like a painkiller, anti-inflammatory. So they synthesized ibuprofen based upon things that they learned from these shamans down in South America. And what Narby did was, after talking to these people, he asked them, because if you just take ayahuasca, the plant, and consume it, the enzymes in your stomach destroy the entheogen properties in it. So he asked how they figured out. There's a way that they add something to it. I can't remember what it was. But they add something to it. And once it's boiled down into this little liqueur, then it prevents the stomach from destroying the intoxicating properties of it. And you have this altered experience. And he asked them, how'd you guys figure this out? They said, the plants told us. And he didn't understand that. So they give him the ayahuasca mix. He throws up violently. But all of a sudden now, they said he starts seeing that every plant in the forest, every tree, every bush, every vine, every blade of grass, had all these little serpents in them. They were spirits. And the spirits then would communicate to the witch doctors what combination of what worked the best if they wanted to find out what would be a good medicine to treat pain or to treat gout or to treat blood pressure or to treat this or to treat that. Then the ayahuasca, the shaman, would drink the ayahuasca and talk to all these serpents that was in all these plants, and they would communicate to him what worked. So again, two ways of... There's one way to talk to God. Okay? It's called prayer. You talk to God. You talk to him out loud. You can talk to him in your heart. And it's that simple. Don't let anybody remove you from the simplicity that is in Christ. And God has sort of renewed prayer in me, and I needed that. So I found myself praying more lately. And I'm telling you, God hears prayers. He hears them. Now, does he always just do exactly what I want, every time I want it, when I want it? No. But I've learned to wait on God, and will always learn to wait on God. But it's that simple. But these spirits, these familiar spirits, you can either practice hours of meditation or take some of these drugs. And again, number one, you always, and if anybody says you can't get addicted to marijuana, they're lying. I talked to someone this week who can't stop. And they want to. Called me crying, begging me. So I told her some things that she should do to get the process started. I said, don't expect God to just take it instantly away from you. Maybe He will, maybe He won't. But if you ask, I promise you God will, in His time, He'll do it. He'll do it His way. That way it's permanent. So anyway, Narby writes in this book, he said, I often asked Carlos, which was his guide, to explain the origin of place names to me. He would invariably reply that nature itself had communicated them to the ayahuascaros, tobaccaros, in their hallucinations. That is, how nature talks, because in nature there is God, and God talks to us in our visions. When an ayahuascaro drinks his plant brew, the spirits present themselves to him and explain everything. It's a way to hear from familiar spirits. So he says later on, according to the shamans of the entire world, one establishes communication with spirits via music. For the ayahuascaros, it is almost inconceivable to enter the world of spirits and remain silent. Angelica Gebhardt Sayer discusses the, quote, visual music projected by the spirits in front of the shaman's eyes. It is made up of three-dimensional images that coalesce into sound, and that the shaman imitates by emitting corresponding melodies. And remember, Satan, Lucifer, had tablets and pipes built into him, into his physical body. He had those built into him. Satan's a musician, very gifted one. Knowing, how did they communicate with the aliens in Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Do, 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 do. Do rock and roll singers take drugs? Do they write their music under the influence of drugs? Yes. And these same people influence children. Isn't that amazing? Like her. Ugh. You have to ask yourself, what happened to her? This is Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter, Miley Cyrus. Now, Billy Ray ought to know that you can't raise a child in the music industry. But he did. He turned his daughter over to the wolves. And she went from this innocent young girl to the whore of Babylon. Okay? Remember that song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds? LSD. It's what it represents. This is Francis Crick. And he's the one that discovered what DNA looks like and how it's made and how it works. How did he get his ideas? Francis Crick, the Nobel Prize winning father of modern genetics, was under the influence of LSD when he first deduced the double helix structure of DNA nearly 50 years ago. The abrasive and unorthodox Crick and his brilliant American co-researcher, James Watson, famously celebrated their Eureka moment in March 1953 by running with the now legendary Cavendish Laboratory in Cambridge to the nearby Eagle Pub, where they announced over pints of bitter that they had discovered the secret of life. Crick, who died 10 days ago, later told a fellow scientist that he often used small doses of LSD to boost his powers of thought. He said it opened the doors of his mind to him to visualize what DNA looked like. He couldn't see it. The door was shut. So he took LSD to open that door. That's what Narbi described. Said the ayahuasca opens a door and you can see things that you never saw before. Gives you a clear view, a clairvoyance is the word for it. It gives you the ability to think, see, hear things you would never see, think, or hear, or experience. And Crick got the idea from Aldous Huxley, who writes this book, The Doors of Perception. Huxley basically said, and he was a huge proponent of people taking LSD. If we're going to expand as a species, if we're going to evolve as a species, there are things that we must know. We must expand our thinking. We must alter our consciousness. Stephen Greer says the same thing, that the only way that mankind will ever get in full contact with the aliens, the extraterrestrials, is that his consciousness must be altered, must be changed, must be heightened. We must have a new way of thinking, a new knowing. Think of it like the day you got saved. It changed your world. I mean, it did. The Holy Spirit literally altered the way you saw everything. Now, flip that upside down and turn it around. That's what drugs do, or being in contact with familiar spirits through meditation. It literally alters your view of everything. So, The Doors of Perception. Crick was influenced by Aldous Huxley, who experimented with mescaline and wrote of his experiences in The Doors of Perception. By the way, not only did Huxley experiment with mescaline, he experimented with adrenochrome. He theorized that and some of you know what that is. He theorized that the human brain has doors built in it that keep a person from perceiving realities around him or from experiencing religious ecstasies. Drugs such as mescaline, cannabis, LSD would open those doors. It was Huxley's book that was the inspiration for Jim Morrison, The Doors. That's why he named the group The Doors, after Huxley. Now the doors are open. And this guy? Yeah. The celebration of the lizard. Because almost every time, the ayahuascaros or the tobaccaros or whoever, they take these drugs, they see snakes, dinosaurs, lizards. Puff the magic dragon. You know, Puff. Right? You didn't know that, did you? Puff the Magic Dragon is about marijuana. Little Jackie Paper. Love that dragon Puff. Okay? But anytime they do it, they see serpents, dragons, snakes, dinosaurs, reptiles, all kinds of things. Here's a book called The Benefits of Marijuana, Physical, Psychological, and Spiritual. You have to ask yourself the question, why such a push? Why such a strong push to legalize marijuana? I guarantee you, anything that the devil needs to rule over mankind, he pushes until it's done. And that just, again, there might be some limited, very limited uses of THC. But it's just like with alcohol. The harm, in most cases, greatly outweighs the benefits. If it was a drug on the market released by a pharmaceutical company, almost without fail, they would pull it off the market because of the effects that it has on people. That's from this book. When the system is hyper-aroused, as in today's lifestyle, marijuana calms. The significance of this fact cannot be ignored. It explains the increased creativity reported as a part of the marijuana experience, because when both sides of the brain processes are heightened, both types of brain activity are greater. The left brain notices more, while the right brain receives more. This is the unification of logic and intuition. The term expansion of consciousness is explained physiologically as, quote, a shifting of brain emphasis from one-sidedness to balance. Marijuana ingestion has been shown to change the worried state by producing alpha waves experienced as well-being. Now, let me explain this. In fact, let me have a picture of your brain. And I've taught this before. Left side of your brain controls right side of your body. Right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. But the left side of your brain has a different function than the right side. The left side deals with logic, things that are in categories, things that are black and white, on and off, math, science, analyzing things, strategy, control, language, understanding language. When you read the Bible, your left brain is decoding the symbols on the page into letters. Then your brain is taking the letters, putting them together to make words. Then your brain, left brain, understands the sentence and understands the process. That's what your left brain does. And it's always dominant. Always. Now, the right brain is the creative side. It draws pictures, it understands poetry, even though some poetry you just go, I don't get that. It's music, it's creative, it's emotional, it's intuitive. Okay? Think of the left brain as masculine, the right brain as feminine. And they are married together, and they're both necessary. When you read your Bible, the left brain is decoding the symbols and understanding the language, but your right brain is drawing a picture of what you're reading in the Bible. And everybody's got a different picture of who Goliath looked like, how, you know, who David is, what Jesus may have looked like, the ark, things like that. But that's our right brain. It draws these pictures for us. And both of them are necessary. So think about God saying about Adam, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. Okay? So here comes Eve. My wife helps me think things through. I've learned over the years. Let me ask my wife. Let me talk to my wife. Why? Is she the boss? No. But she helps me see things that I don't see. She tells me sometimes about people. Watch out for that guy. Watch out for that person. Better stay away from them. Or just kind of keep your eye on them. And I used to go, would you stop that? You have no basis for that whatsoever. And at that point, yes, it's true. But she is intuitive. She gets things that I may not get. Okay? This is why women make better decorators than men. They can visualize things. They can feel things. They can get a sense of colors and so on. Me, all walls should be white. That's how I see the world. Okay? But one of them has to be dominant. One of them. When the right brain becomes dominant, then we start throwing rules out the door. So this is why for years, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, and people were taking LSD, they'd be jumping off buildings because they thought they could fly. They shut the left brain down. The right brain took over. It perceived that it could fly, but it forgot about the rules of gravity, the law of gravity. And that's my point in this. Let me go back to this, what he said here. This is the unification of logic and intuition. It is making the woman equal to the man. But she's not. Paul referred to the woman as the weaker vessel. Who was deceived? Adam or Eve? Why? Adam knew the logic of what God was saying. Eve, and you notice that she's the one that altered what God said. You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. God never said that. She added that. She thought that. She created that. Lies come from the right side of your brain. Facts come from the left side of your brain. When you tell a lie, you have to draw a picture of it first. If you're going to tell the truth, generally you're like reading index cards. Okay, here's the file I was looking for. Let me tell you the truth. That's how it works. And so what they're talking about here is that marijuana causes the right brain to either be equal or, in some cases, dominant. To where everything that you thought was right and true, now the right brain has told you a new way. Again, who did the devil go to? The male or the female? Who did he deceive? The female. When you commit adultery in your heart, how does that work? See, the left brain is telling you that's wrong. But the right brain has already made a movie of that. See how that works? So again, do we need our right brain? Yeah, absolutely, we need it. But that part is to be submissive. See, this is where the imaginations are. What does the Bible say about the imagination? Do what they did to Jezebel. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, or bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So marijuana use gives the right brain control where it should not have control. God said, cast that imagination down. Just like they threw Jezebel down. Okay? Your brain can operate in four different states. Beta, alpha, theta, delta. Beta is awake, normal, alert, conscious. Alpha is you're relaxed, you're calm, you're just kind of deep relaxation. And meditation is the theta. Delta is the deep, dreamless sleep. Okay? So an alpha state or a theta state is where you can get in contact with familiar spirits. The dulling and suppression of your consciousness is how that works. The alpha state, why is it essential to psychic development? There are four types of brain wave that can occur while you're thinking, sleeping, dreaming, concentrating, so on and so on. So it says here that in the alpha state, that's where you can have dreams, meditation, daydreams, creative visualization, connection to the subconscious. It says beta is the brain wave that presents for your normal waking state and all the busyness that happens during this state. Most of us are in a beta state throughout the day. But note that you cannot usually receive psychic insights or intuitive guidance in a beta state. Why? Because he's in charge. That's the state where your conscious mind is fully engaged and operative and everything is busy, busy, busy. And even Greer tells you that Greer meditates and gets in contact with aliens. What does that tell you? You need to be in an alpha state to receive psychic information. Before I begin a reading, I always take myself down to an alpha state through meditation and visualization. I obviously don't call it putting myself in an alpha state, but if I remain in beta with my conscious mind engaged, I can't read for someone. Quite simply, I can't connect with someone's spirit guides in that state. If I tried, I wouldn't get any information. Spirit guides are familiar spirits. They're devils. So here's a psychic expert telling you that when your conscious mind is awake and alert and sober, they can influence you. But you start dumbing down that mind. And here they come. Genesis 3, we talked about that. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. He didn't say it to the man. Some research has been done associated with the activities and benefits of other brainwave frequencies, such as super, beta, gamma, etc. The lower your brainwave, CPS, the more is your awareness turned toward your subjective experience, toward your inner world, and the more effectively you are able to use the power of your mind to create changes in your body. That's a lie, by the way. With each lower state, you become more fully aligned with the source of power within you, with your unconscious, if you prefer, with that part of you that is greater than you, your body. Generally, in beta state, your attention is focused outward. In alpha, it begins to turn inward, and in theta, delta, it goes further and further inward. The deeper you go, the more effective are you able to enter your subconscious. You can imagine that at the borderline between beta and alpha states is a doorway to your subconscious mind. And the doorway consists of what is hypnosis referred to as your critical faculty. Basically put, the lower your brain waves, the better your chances of being in contact with a familiar spirit. So how does ayahuasca or LSD or mescaline or peyote or marijuana or any of the, how do they work? They subdue the left side of your brain, the logic, the control, the things that we know to be right and or wrong. Subdue that while enhancing the right side of your brain, which is where you will have visions, you'll have dreams, you'll have hallucinations, you'll see things. You ever listen to the lyrics of some rock songs? It's like they make absolutely no sense, right? Unless you're high. Then when you're high, it makes perfect sense as long as you're high. And then when you're not high anymore, you're just going, yeah, I caught that, but I don't know what it is. Now, there's a picture in the Bible of everything. And I want you to look at this picture here. Samson. What is Samson? He is a strong man. Where does his strength come from? The seven locks, which are the seven horns that we see on the Lamb in Revelation 5, the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. All right? That's where his strength is. But the Philistines don't want Samson strong. They want him weak. They want him dead, and they can't kill him. Samson's got one weakness. He loves women. He can't keep his hands off of them. So who did the Philistines get? Since the Philistines couldn't beat him, who did they hire? A whore. A harlot. She was paid well for this. And what did she do? When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. Think about it. She put him to sleep. While I'm thinking of it, let me pull this verse in. "The times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be what? Sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." And I've even had some people tell me that the best way to reach God is to get high. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. So it's no wonder that somebody called me, and she was in tears. And she said, "I can't, I want to quit. I can't, I have no strength, no power against it." Okay, so yeah, you can get addicted to marijuana. It's just like anything else. Even if you don't have withdrawals from it, because you've developed a practice of being so used to going to that every time a problem happens. Well, how many problems is the devil going to create for you? As many as it takes to get you to run back to your slave master, which is whatever your addiction is. It's a slave master. Keeps you in bondage. So the picture here is exactly Delilah, Babylon, the whore who makes people drunk. She puts Mr. Logic to sleep. Now she's in charge. And it's cut the power of God right out of churches, right out of this country, right out of people's lives. Here's how I explain this. If you look at these two pictures here, both of them contain vegetation. Can you tell the difference between the one that was planted by man and the one that was planted by nature? Can you tell the difference? Of course you can. What's the difference? When man plants it, it's all in straight rows. Why? Because there's a logical reason behind it. The farm implements have to be able to get in between the plants. You don't want the wheels crushing it. You don't want people walking on it. Whereas nature just throws stuff everywhere. Chaos, confusion, disorder. What is the shadow of death? Job described it. I think it's in Job chapter 10. "Before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness, the shadow of death, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness." A place without any order. So now we have churches called Imagine Church or Imagination Fellowship. The initials are IF, if. And that's a question. What if? And they tell you things about, let's imagine God. Let's imagine God this way. Let's imagine God this. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our Bibles. And let's get a greater understanding of God by using our intuitiveness. Let's feel God. Let's experience God. Not just know God. Let's intuit Him. And they're now telling people that the imagination of God is greater than the knowledge of God. Remember now, left and right brain, male and female, sober versus drunk. Look at this, these two paintings. Don't ever ask me if I want to go to a modern art exposition. On the one side, you have a very clear painting of buildings, trees, ships, the sea, the sun, clouds, people. It's not difficult to see what this painting is about. Look at the one on the right. What is that? And 100 people could look at this and call it 100 different things. They'd all be right, I guess. The picture on the left was drawn using the left brain to make things look as real as possible. The thing on the right, I think a monkey did at a zoo or something, I don't know. But you don't know what it is. Let me give you another illustration. On the left, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. So that's music and poetry. The right brain helps us hear the music, understand the poetry of it, but it also makes sense. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. See, that makes sense. Now look at the words on the right side. Man, you've been a naughty boy. You let your face grow long. I am the Eggman. They are the Eggmen. I am the Walrus. Goo, 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 Joob. What does it mean? Well, that was written by the Beatles. Probably when they were experimenting with LSD. You have no idea what that means. And that's the point of it. It's not static. It doesn't have a definition. It doesn't have defined lines. You can't understand what that is. And that's the point of it. It has to do with the imagination. Cannabis spirituality. There's a whole religion. There's a whole religion built around marijuana smoking. Rastafarianism. And I don't get it, but I know a little bit about it. It's based upon the idea that Emperor Selassie of Ethiopia is Jesus Christ returned. The Lion of Judah. Okay? Bob Marley was a Rastafarian. Okay? And they basically say the way that they must, and the only way they can practice their religion is to smoke marijuana. And the guys grow their... You know how you get dreadlocks, don't you? You don't comb your hair. And when you don't comb your hair, it automatically starts weaving itself in these locks. Now look at this picture and read that verse. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared in a battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had the hair as the hair of women, and their teeth are as the teeth of lions. And they call Emperor Selassie the Lion of Judah. In Theogen, the way to see, to know, to experience God is by getting high. Here's an article called Cannabis and the Pineal Gland. Turn on the third eye. The pineal gland, or the seat of the soul, as described by René Descartes, as the focal point of our spiritual guiding system, which makes us go beyond the five senses of rationality and become multisensory. Now let me stop right here. Wrong. The pineal gland does one thing. It either causes the release of melatonin or it stops the release of melatonin. Melatonin is what puts us to sleep at night. The pineal gland perceives, it is sort of like an eye, and it perceives that daytime has turned to dark. And once the light goes out, body starts releasing melatonin in the morning when the sunlight comes up. Because our eyelids are thin, we can see that. The pineal gland perceives that it's daylight and it stops the release of melatonin and we start waking up. And there's all kinds of stuff in the New Age about the pineal gland being where the soul is. And somebody shared this with me. There's a thing going around the internet now, the real reason why the COVID thing is out there. The real reason why the COVID disease is out there is so they've, and I've got one of these in a drawer here somewhere. You know those things they point at your head to tell your temperature? They're spreading this rumor now that they're using those to zap our pineal glands so we can't be aware of the evil plans of the New World Order. And that's based on a New Age idea that the pineal gland is where our soul is. No, your heart is where your soul is. Okay? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not the pineal gland. So, when they talk about activating the pineal gland, remember, what does activating the pineal gland do? Causes you to go to sleep like Delilah did. And marijuana does that. The serpent said, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." What was he describing to her? Now, we don't know what that fruit was. But looking at it from this point of view, it's almost like Satan was introducing some sort of entheogen to Adam and Eve. That once you eat this, or partake of this, or ingest this, then you will know what the gods are. No, your consciousness is going to be raised. You're going to have a new way of thinking. Peter said, "Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let your mind be loose to believe whatever everybody else believes. And don't be drunk, either physically or spiritually. He said, don't do it. Romans 12, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." 1 Thessalonians 5, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." 1 Thessalonians 5, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet the hope of salvation." Yes, this is a salvation issue. Now, to those like the person who called me, who, yeah, you can get addicted to alcohol, you can get addicted to marijuana, you can get anything like that. Am I saying that if you do that, there's no chance you can go to heaven? No. I watched people all my life, people that I knew, and I watched them struggle against their sins. And I know in some cases, we had a man in our church, when God dealt with him, just about cigarettes, he walked away from them. Turned them over to God, walked away from them. Not everybody can do that. So, sometimes God does. Yes, he just removes it, and you don't do it anymore. But to those who don't do drugs, alcohol, anything like that, don't look down at others who still struggle with it. Because they might look down at you for what you still struggle with. Because I guarantee you, just because when you got saved you didn't drink no more, doesn't mean you didn't do other things anymore. So let me say this. To those of you who are struggling with this issue, and it is an increasing problem. I mean, because it's becoming more and more legalized. And I expect that if the liberals get control of this country, they will literally legalize cocaine, marijuana, LSD, heroin, meth. Then they'll say, see, there's no more drug problem. Because most people go to jail for what? Drugs. Drugs, literally, is just drugs and alcohol are literally destroying the moral fabric of this country. And for those of you who want help, God will give it. And here's what I'll say to you. What God doesn't deliver you from instantly, He will eventually deliver you from it. And He will always give you grace while He works in you. Oh, good. Does that mean now that I can smoke all the marijuana I want to and just wait for God to show up? No. Because the people that I talk to say that God beats them every time they do it. Again, that's God's remedy for our sin, is a good beating. And they don't. That's why they don't want to do it anymore. Prayer, Bible reading, calling upon God, asking God for help. There are some other things, like with our addictions Bible study, there's a reason why we do this. It's a way for people to come together, to be honest with what they deal with and the struggles that they have and how maybe they got through this struggle without turning back to the drugs or the alcohol or whatever it is. And that helps others. And I would suggest some kind of group therapy. I can't tell you what's the best. I can't tell you what's the worst. But even lost people get help in groups. Even lost people do. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, God does want us living sober. I have no doubt of that. And God is always a delivering God. That, I promise you, I know. He's delivered me. He's delivered lots of people. But I also know that God does things in His time. If you have the will, God will give you the way. Remember what He said about temptation. Is that God will always provide a way of escape. And it may take a process of God showing you how that plan of escape works so that you can get victory over it once. Then you can get victory over it again. And then you can get victory over it again. And yeah, you may stumble every now and then, but you get back up and God shows you the way of escape again. People are sinners. People make mistakes. Human beings make mistakes. And people get addicted to things. And I just want you to know, as a pastor, I'm on your side. Because I've been there. And I know what it's like. I know how hard it is. Okay? But God has helped me, and I promise you, God will help you. And it's worth it. To be clean, to be sober, to have your mind restored. And we used to have a phrase for the kids in high school that we knew did drugs. We called them burnout. Burnouts. Yeah, there was either the jocks, the nerds, or the burnouts. And the burnouts were the kids that did drugs. And why do we call them that? Because their mind, by the time they got to 12th grade, if they made it that far, their mind was already so burnt by the drugs they did, including marijuana. There just wasn't much left. So I hope you find the help that you need. And I do believe God will give you the grace both to forgive and to show you His way of escape. Okay? But I recommend locally finding some help with some people. Alright? Alright. God bless you. I love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. I've got some other things I want to show you. I'll do that for you on Thursday. May the Lord bless you. We'll see you.